Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Happy Tuesday to you. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. Hopefully, everyone is having a fantastic Tuesday. Thanks for hanging with me today. I really, truly appreciate it. Big show tomorrow. The one that only Kiara Luck is on with us tomorrow, starting a quarter after the hour. Big news about Monday shows. That'll come towards the end of the show today. A lot of stuff to get into. A lot of takes on the first quarter of football. I want to get into this. Should quarterback or should players transfer in college? Hunter Renfrow weighed in big time, and so did Todd Blackledge. And I 100% disagree with them. I think they're 100% dead wrong. Mahomes is the real thing, y'all. The real thing. Kawhi debuted in Toronto. LeBron debuted in L.A. We're going to get into that. The Cubs and the Brewers went at it. Brewers are now the division champs. The Cubs are playing tonight. Rockies. Dodgers got into it. The Dodgers are now the division champs. Rockies are playing the Cubs. Get into what I think about all that. All that's coming up. Jam-packed show right here on The Cave Show. This is PLR. Thanks for joining us. We are brought to you as usual by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 Alma School. That's Alma School in Chandler Heights. Make sure you get in there, check them out. Let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. You can also become a club member. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks ever going bad. You can also have beer and wine now. Maduro serves beer and wine, and they also have the NFL League Pass, so you can watch every football game that you like. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Channel Heights. Let them know PLR sent you, and like I said, they will take 10% off of every purchase that you have. Cigar purchase. Call in numbers 917-889-7828, 889-7828. All calls are made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. I do have a caller on hold. Thanks for your patience. This is PLR. This is The Cave Show. Whom do I have the privilege of speaking with today?
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou once again.
Lou, what's up, my friend? How are you?
Well, like you mentioned, we've got the baseball playoffs, and the Yankees are going to play tomorrow night against Oakland. And Serviano is going to pitch. I don't know how Yankee fans feel about that, but I think it's going to be a good pitching matchup for him.
Again, I'm going to go back to this. I think whoever won, and look, I may prove to be wrong. I think whoever had home field and the Yankees A's was going to win that game. I think Serviano is going to pitch fine. I just, like I said, I think the Yankees understood that they did not want to go west to turn around and come back east. And I think they're going to be ready to go. I think the Yankees players are ready. I think you have a Judge that is not going to be 100% before the season's over, but he's going to be close enough to it. If it's any indication, the bombs he was hitting in Boston before the season ended, seems that he's going to be okay. Sanchez is back. Severino's back. Everyone is back. So the Yankees should be able to get through one game against Oakland.
Yeah, and they did set a record this season, too, for most home runs by a team.
They did. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I out of all the records in baseball by a team, I think that's the one I care about the least. And I'll tell you what. I think home runs by an individual player is cooler. And here's here's why I say that. I think when you hit 265 home runs or 266 or something in that ballpark, and I remember that Mariners team that did the same thing, and you had Ken Griffey spearheading that with 56 home runs, they didn't do a lot of other stuff. And what gets me is about baseball in general today, there's a lot of station to state. There's no – it's get on, no station to station. No, don't bunt that guy to second and get a hit. It's get on and sit there and wait until a home run drives you in. And the one thing I hope the Yankees, because I think they're a good enough team and they have guys that completely understand the game of baseball, I hope in the playoffs they don't fall prey to that. You get on and just wait for a home run. Or get on, and if the guy behind you
can't
run,
do
just wait
that.
For that three-run dinger. And I just get the feeling when you hear all those home runs, I just hope that team isn't put together like Boone doesn't manage like that. But
yeah,
we shall
you
see.
Can't really wait. You can't really wait for that.
Well, the playoffs start tonight in Chicago, technically, even though yesterday felt like a playoff day. The Cubs
right.
lost the Central Division to the Brewers. The team that is at a disadvantage in all this, and sometimes that's I think that you know that, and you feel the world is against you, and you come out and play better. But Colorado, when you think about this, they got screwed. They had to play the late game yesterday in L.A., and then get on
yeah.
a plane, fly to Chicago to turn around and play tonight. Whereas the Cubs, obviously, they lost yesterday, but they were at home anyway. So all they did was go home and come back to the park today. Colorado got
right.
screwed in this one. So we'll see what happens. There's no recovery time for them, for either team, but there's no recovery time for the road team whatsoever. They played, and people forget this, they didn't fly from Colorado. They flew from L.A. So
yeah.
they had to play a late game, get right on a plane. That and obviously they were disappointed, but they get on a plane, fly to Chicago, get in, get a nap, and get to the park. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It is.
It's,
so
yeah,
we'll find out.
I
if I was a betting man, I'd bet on the Cubs. I'm hoping for it, and Lou – this is I would prefer to – okay, I have two ways to say this. For the World Series, I would love to see the Yankees-Dodgers because to me it just
yeah.
brings up so many old-time baseball stuff. But for the sake
mm-hmm.
of baseball, and I want them to make some real changes to baseball, I really hope they get Cleveland-Milwaukee. So the guys on Madison Avenue
really?
Can pull their heads out and really have to figure out a way to market baseball to a younger crowd.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So,
yeah,
but
if you in Milwaukee, I don't think you're going to get a lot of viewers, though.
But see, that's my point. My point is, if the NFL had a Super Bowl that was Jacksonville versus Seattle, would a bazillion people still watch the Super Bowl? Yeah.
Yeah.
When Golden State went to their first NBA Finals, people still watch. The thing is, baseball doesn't put other teams on TV enough for you to get familiar with them. Every
right.
Sunday in baseball, you can count on this. You can count on the Red Sox, count on the Yankees, you count on the Cubs, you can count on the St. Louis Cardinals, you count on the Dodgers, you count on the Giants. Now because they're winning, you can count on the Strohs. Every now and then you can get the Braves thrown in there. Every now and then you get Cleveland thrown in there. They never show Florida. They never show the Brewers. They never show the Rockies. If the Rockies are good, they'll get a little bit of love. You don't get the Rangers. You don't get – so my point is basically maybe it will make them realize that through the season we have to market our league and not just market the same teams that we market over and over and over and over
mm.
because we're losing young viewers. The reason why football is relevant is on a Sunday night you can get Indianapolis versus somebody. That makes you know who Andrew Luck is. In basketball,
yes.
on the NBA channel or TNT, you'll get a young team like Philly versus Dallas, even though Dallas sucks, but they want to show you their new star in Luka Doncic. So the NBA gets it. Baseball doesn't get it. And so maybe if you give them a situation where they have two teams that are not really known or watched across the country, maybe they'll get it. And I'll go even a step further. I'd rather see the A's versus the versus a National League, the Brewers, because Lou, your Yankees are playing the A's. Name five people on the A's.
Yeah, it's a little tough.
Yeah, you can't. Because you know what? They haven't shown the A's all year. And they're the best story. I mean, more than likely they're going to lose, but they're a great story. And no one knows who they are. That's baseball's fault. So when Manfred comes out and says, well, Mike Trout has to do more, probably Mike Trout. No, idiot, you have to do more for your league.
Yes.
But switching to football real quick, first quarter of football is in the books. There's some good takeaways. There's some bad takeaways. I will say this. New York football, since I have you on the phone, is 2-6 in the first quarter of football. Jets are 1-3. Giants are 1-3. The Giants seem to be disappointing in that it is time to go out this summer and find your Eli replacement because Eli is definitely done. There is, nothing left in the tank. He has Beckham, Saquon, when Ingram isn't hurt, Ingram. And for whatever reason, he can't even get the ball out of his hand enough to get that offense with those guys to put up more than 74 stinking points in four games. And while he should take a lot of that hit, you also got to remember that defense isn't standing there. They're a minus 22 differential. So that tells you they're not just losing, they're getting beat.
Yeah.
So if I would have told you when this year started that the Giants would have the same record as the Buffalo Bills a quarter through the season, you would have told me I was out of my mind.
Yes.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens going forward with them. Other things, Patrick Mahomes is the real deal.
So far.
He's the real deal. There are certain guys that you look at play and you say, wow, that guy gets it. And he's going to have his bumps. He's a rookie. He's going to have a bad game. Hell, seasoned veterans have bad games. But that release, that throw, I heard one receiver say on television the other night, a retired receiver, the ball, when it comes out of his hand, with the rotation of that ball, is such an easy ball to catch. You just, the only thing you have to watch is that it gets on you quick. He can make any throw. And the one thing I like about him that I've noticed more about him than I have about the other young quarterbacks in the league, and not all of them, but some of them, he throws guys open. Instead of throwing the open guys, he throws guys open. And he made a pass last night. And I'm not talking about that left-handed pass that everyone is raving about. I'm talking about a pass when they were down and he needed a touchdown, and he's moving around, he starts scrambling, and he throws this dart to Travis Kelce, which gets him down to about the 3-yard line or 4-yard line of Denver. That's a big man. That's a big boy's throw. That's really just a big boy's throw. So he is the real deal. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself with Kansas City because they were 5-0 last year before they fell apart and ended up losing at home to Tennessee. And I hope that doesn't happen this year to Andy Reid. But, Lou, that kid can throw that rock. He can throw that pill all over the place. So, good for him. So,
exactly.
That's what's going on. That's what's going on in good old KC. You got anything on your mind you want to bring up, Lou, before I swap us over to hoops?
Well, I just found out that the Twins have released Paul Mahler as their manager.
Yes, he's been fired. Let go.
But it's not completely the end because they might take him in a different role next season. As to what that is, no one knows yet.
Oh, no, you know what? I do want to know what happened, though, because the Twins did get in the playoffs last year. And, yeah, they were they were not very good this year. They did fly under the radar. But what happened to make them sever that relationship? So I'm really curious to find out what went wrong to the point where they said, hey, we just got to move on from this guy right now. And I'm sure more will come out about that. But it's coming.
Yeah, I think we kind of knew.
Yep. Yep.
All
so
right.
That's what's happening there.
Exactly.
And we'll get into baseball. We'll get into baseball more as the playoffs roll around and we talk all that stuff.
Right. And you're mentioning, LeBron made his debut for the Lakers. Not really all that impressive, though, by his standards or by what everybody thinks.
No, he played a low-key game. And you know something? I didn't expect – okay, 3 days ago he wasn't even going to play in a preseason game. So he went from not playing at all to playing sparingly, which is fine. See, the whole time I thought he should have played. And not because he doesn't know how to play, because obviously he's LeBron James. He knows how to play.
Right.
But it was important for him to get a run against other people, not just in practice, but in a game setting as much as possible against other people with his new teammates so they can kind of have some type of understanding when he's passing and what he's looking for on the court based on what the other team does. When you're practicing against your teammates, after a while, you're on a team. You kind of start expecting things and tendencies and whatever. Another team isn't going to do the exact same thing that your team is going to do. So I thought it was important just to get out there, get a sweat up, play a quarter, get some speed time, let them see how you play, and now they can adjust to you. And he did that, and I think that's really what they were looking for more than anything. LeBron James having a subpar preseason game worries me about as much as one drip of water from a faucet flooding a house. So I think he's going to be perfectly okay. The person I was looking at more than anything was Kawhi Leonard up in Toronto. And honestly, he looked good. You know, he looked like Kawhi again. And if that's the case, that Eastern Conference legitimately has three teams to worry about in the Raptors, the Sixers, and the Celtics. And you know what's going to happen. One of them's going to have to play everyone. So it is going to be imperative, to end up with the number one seed in the East. Because if you end up as a number two seed, say you're Philly and you end up with the number two seed, that means you're going to have to get rid of Toronto if there's a third seed. And then you got to turn around and you got to play Boston. You know, or it's the other way around, one of those teams. You don't want to face them because, in all honesty, once you get past the top three teams in the East, and no disrespect to Indiana, they should be better.
Right.
I think it'll be a little different year because people will see them coming. But I don't think Indiana's putting out Boston, Philly, or Toronto. I just don't think talent-wise they match up well with those teams.
Yeah. No, I kind of knew that. But, I think maybe they're just, I think maybe they expect a little bit too much, from LeBron. You know, thinking he's going to come out on fire, a 30-point game or whatnot. But I didn't see that.
No, it's preseason. The man was going to play one quarter, not even a full quarter. Back in the day when you played basketball, you say, well, how many games are you going to run? I'm going to run just enough to get a good lather up. Basically, I'm going to run enough to get a good sweat in, get a good workout in, and then play my game, down the line. He's not out there. Look, if anyone watched that game and was waiting for LeBron to dive on the floor to lose balls, they weren't thinking. It's LeBron, get out here, run with these guys, let them see real pace of speed with you, and then we're done. So that's it. And college football, two quick things. I have to mention this for a bunch of reasons. Sun Devil Stadium, last Saturday night, watched Eno Benjamin and the Sun Devils win and beat Oregon State. But more than anything, Eno Benjamin ran for 312 yards, 170 in the first half alone, which was a school is a new school record. The 312 is a school record. He was named the Pac-12 Player of the Week, Offensive Player of the Week, and the Rose Bowl Player of the Week. So big ups to him. That's an incredible feat, running for 300 yards in a game. And then the other thing is what's going on in Clemson. Kelly Bryant is obviously transferring. Trevor Lawrence got hurt in the game, had a concussion or a concussion protocol. I think Dabo Swinney is a 100% ass for a couple of the things that he said. The first thing he said was when he was interviewed at halftime and he was asked about Kelly Bryant and would he be welcome back, he was like, oh, yeah, you know, in times like this, we'll be fine. You know, it would be great if he'd come back. If he's, you know, they asked if he was still enrolled, we'd come back. Would you be open to it? Yeah, I'd be open to it. That's when he didn't know what was happening with Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, he found out Trevor Lawrence was doing a lot better. Chase Bright came in that second half, led him back to a victory. And then at the end of the game, when he was asked in full media, he said, no, I'm only going to talk about the guys that are here. You know, Kelly's made his decision. I don't want to bring that up anymore. Yada, 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 yada. I think he's an ass because of this. Someone told him, hey, look, he may be able to play next week. He's good to go. It looks like just concussion protocol, but he's good to go. He looks in good spirit. He's celebrating he celebrated with his teammates. We're good. Chase Bright did enough. We're good. If anything happens, he could probably get us through. So we don't need Kelly Bryant. And I thought that was really cheesy on Dabo's part. Because when he thought he may have needed him, he said, yeah, I'd welcome him back. When he found out he didn't need him, he didn't. And that's why I am happy that Kelly Bryant decided to leave. And I also saw where Hunter Renfrow, a wide receiver for Clemson, said, you know, he owes nothing against him, you know, but when you sign up, you sign as a team, for your team, with your team. And I call BS. I call BS to Todd Blackledge, who said the same thing, and here is why. They're leaving out some really important information when it comes to Kelly Bryant and his transferring. And I say that because I was on Blake Barrett very hard for transferring out of Alabama and then transferring again out of ASU. Here's the difference. When you're a senior and you're trying to play football more than just that senior year, and you get benched, in essence, for a guy that's better than you, but you can still transfer out and you have no more eligibility, you are not going to get drafted off Clemson's bench as a quarterback. You need to play to continue to show growth and depth of your game. Sitting on Clemson's bench isn't going to make that happen for you. I'm 100% behind him leaving. The kid that transferred out of Alabama got beat out as a freshman, and he quit and gave up and came to ASU. Came out here, got beat out again, left and went somewhere else again. There's a difference. You have eligibility. And I wonder what Renfrow would say if there was a wide receiver outplaying him, and Renfrow's, I want to say, the top 10 wide, ranked 10th out of all wide receivers in this draft. If they ended up putting in another quarterback that didn't pass, that was happy, and he didn't see any balls, and they then, in turn, put in a freshman wide receiver, and they said, you know what, this guy blocks a lot better than you, and we're kind of, because he doesn't throw as well, we're going to do a little bit more running, a little bit more run-play options with him. So we're going to kind of move you to the bench. Would Renfrow then say, for the team, this is what I signed up for? No, he wouldn't. He'd go somewhere else. Because this is – no one says that to coaches. No one tells coaches what they signed up for. You need to stay with these kids. They just leave. They just go.
Right.
And I think it's a bunch of crap that everyone says, well, they gave them a four-year scholarship. Lou, they're not four-year scholarships. They're one-year scholarships. They're a series of four one-year scholarships. So at any point, at any time, your coach can say to you, I'm yanking that scholarship away from you. and giving it to someone else at any time. So when I hear it, you know, people come out and say it, I'm like, where was your when Jimbo Fisher bolted to Texas A&M, I didn't hear a whole bunch of people upset.
No.
When coaches get fired, when they take new jobs, rather, over bowl week, and they leave their kids, I don't hear that much. Scott Frost left an undefeated UCF team to go and coach at Nebraska. No one said to him, hey, dude, that's kind of suck. Four-team, all-team. You recruited me to play here all 4 years, but you're leaving after two. That sucks. No one said that to him. They said, good opportunity for you, my man. Go back to your old school. I think that's crap. I really, truly do.
It is.
So I'm off my soapbox with that. But that's what I wanted to get into.
That's okay.
With Kelly Bryant. I'm going to have Ed Smith on before the week is over, and I really want to get into this with him as well, because those comments are really starting to bug me about Kelly Bryant. And I think a lot of people are making it from a closed-minded opinion. So,
you know, and I guess I'm starting to get off my soapbox.
So that's it, buddy.
All right, then on that note, I'll take my leave, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Have a good day.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, buddy. Good friend of the program, Lou. Good to hear from tomorrow. Don't forget, quarter after the hour, Kiara Luck is scheduled to be on. Yeah, man, that really bugs me. That really just gets under my skin. He's for the team. This is for the team. Hey, big one for the team. We're all ultimate team players. They need to do this for the team. Le'Veon Bell is coming back. He's not coming back till week 7. Difference of opinion. A lot of guys are like, cool. Steve Young said, either come back or don't come back. I'm with you and I'm not with you, Steve, in that I don't think they're prepared to tell him, if you're not going to come, don't come. If you're not going to come now, don't come. You're not going to have the Pittsburgh Steelers just completely renounce all their rights and say, fine, the heck with it. But if you come, y'all should be happy. You obviously need him. We're going to talk a lot of football tomorrow. At Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, fan page, Cave is always with the K, sportscave.com, Cave is always with the K. Check out a lot of good articles there. You can get me directly on Twitter as well, PLR on Sports. Thanks for hanging with me on this Tuesday. Tomorrow's hump day. Kiara Luck here tomorrow. Until then, this is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone have a great rest of your Tuesday. Later.